Hi, today's April 14th, 2017, and this is Mobile View Podcast number 202, and I hear myself in an echo. I'm Tyler Gasawara. I hope you don't hear an echo, and with my good friend John Westfall, and this will be a short podcast. Hey, John.
Yes, I am recording this from a place that I've never recorded Mobile Views from before. I'm actually in an office, one of my offices on campus, because I've been working on a grant proposal that's due Monday. So It's been a fun ride so far, and we've got some interesting topics today. In fact, the first one, Todd, why don't you set it up? Because I actually went and played with it a little bit after you talked about it.
So Google has a new, I don't know what you call it. It's really not a product or service, a new play thing called AutoDraw. And I think you go to autodraw.com, AutoDraw.com. And the way it works is you can kind of scribble an image, like a circle or a couple of circles and some lines, and Google will try to figure out what it is you're drawing. And for most simple things, like, you know, a bicycle or some animals, it does a pretty good job. If you do something more complex, like I tried Batman, that doesn't work. In fact, when I drew Batman, it thought I was trying to do like a peace sign or something with my hand. But that's okay. It's a lot of fun. And John, you played with it. What did you think?
Yeah, I'm playing with it right now, actually. And when you said bicycle, I tried to draw a bicycle, and I have horrible drawing skills. And it figured it out. And so that's kind of cool. This is actually something I think I might actually use on a regular basis when I'm preparing lectures or preparing slides of some sort, because it really allows me to go, okay, I just need a picture of this plus something else. And it's a lot faster than looking for the line art, is just coming here and kind of using my horrible doodling skills to come up with it. So, like, for example, I'm going to try to draw an owl right now, and so I've got it might have a problem with my owl. Let's see.
Might draw Batman.
Yeah, maybe the owl will be Batman. Batman owl. And it's got at least that it's a face, but it also thinks that it might be a baguette or a piece of bread at this point.
And it does offer you choices, like 5, 6, 7, 10 things that you might be drawing.
Okay, so I added a wing-looking thing, and I got owl.
Awesome.
So, yeah, that's pretty cool.
Send me a copy of that. We'll use that as our image for the podcast.
Okay, I will send you a picture of my owl. Well, Google's owl that my owl created.
Yeah, it's pretty interesting. I assume it's part of its image recognition research. Some of you may have taken advantage of it in Google Photos. Well, you can type something like red sky or mountains, and it will find all your photos that match those search concepts.
I actually did that with, I save comic strips from time to time that I find particularly funny. And so because they get added to my camera roll, I just typed comic in Google Photos and found a bunch of random things to send to people. So,
you know, it would be interesting if it would recognize comic strip characters like, you know, I don't know, Calvin and Hobbes or something. Mm-hmm. But I don't know if it does that. Okay, and I see the image you just sent me. So I shall download that somehow. How do I download this? Oh, there it is. Download. There we go. Okay, so we're learning things. All right. Anyway, so that's the image stable. Next thing is image stabilization is available in Google Photos for Android. I haven't tried it yet, even though I do have an Android device. And basically that means if you shoot a video and it's a little, you know, shaky cam looking, it'll try to stabilize the image from you. I'll try to give it a try if it's available on my Nexus 6. Yeah.
That does sound good. I mean, Google honestly is winning the photo game right now.
Oh, it's awesome.
So much more than Apple. And it's to the point that, you know, for the last year and a half on my home screen on my iPhone, I have regular photos and then Google Photos right next door. So yeah. It is really cool what Google is doing with allowing people who are not that creative, like me, to be creative through things like AutoDraw and Google Photos.
And, you know, on a sadder note, Flickr, which was the original, you know, most used photo storage, photo sharing, social media kind of place, I don't think anybody uses it anymore.
Yeah, although Flickr is the best place to find Creative Commons licensed photos.
Is that right?
Oh, yeah. The advanced search actually allows you to... I mean, you could also try using Google Photos, but Flickr, I think, still is the best place for me to find those, since a lot of people license their stuff under Creative Commons.
Mm. And Flickr, by nature, shares this stuff, or used to. Not anymore, I guess, but originally everything you put on there was public, I think.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Kind of like Twitter. But oh well. Yahoo is a very sad story, which we'll talk about some other day. Now that it's going to be Oath. Horrible name. Okay, next item is something that John brought up well over a year ago when we were... I think Don Sorcinelli was here. We're talking about online security and that sort of thing. And... I just read recently that because of the repeal of the ISP privacy rules in the U.S., and I should note, it never took effect, so it's not like anything has changed from an operational point of view, but just conceptually, we were going to have privacy rules in place for ISPs, and now we're not. So there's been a spike in VPN signups, you know, for paid services, and including the one that John recommended last year, Private Internet Access. Which, John, I signed up for yesterday, by the way. And cool. Its price did go up a little. It's now $40 a year instead of $35, but still very affordable. Are you still using it, John?
I am. In fact, I used it a little bit this week. And one thing that I will caution people about that they sometimes don't think of, when you use a VPN service, all you are hiding is from your ISP and from basically everything up until the website you're going to.
Right.
But once you're on that website, so for example, if you use it and then sign into Facebook or sign into Google or something like that, then they can still track you internally between, you know, Facebook and Google, etc. Now, maybe not between sessions. If you disconnect and reconnect your VPN, you likely can avoid some of that, but just common sense, if you're signing into a service while using a VPN, that service could use cookies and other things to track you on its service.
Right.
So
it basically prevents your ISP from knowing where you're going, and not much else. And there are some other unintended consequences, one of which is if your service, like Gmail, for example, tracks your location and you're suddenly on a different continent because you're using a VPN, it may send you a warning saying, hey, are you really in, you know, whatever country your VPN is emerging from into the internet? And you may have to deal with some of those issues on your own.
Yes, and if you screw up and say, no, I'm not in Pakistan right now. Yeah, it could lock your account out. Of course, that would be a horrible exit note to happen to hit, but... Mm-hmm. It is something just be aware of, that really all you're doing with a VPN is taking a different car to the same location that you normally go in, and you can pick a new car every time you go there, but it's right. it's not, you know, a car with heavily tinted windows that once you drive into the tunnel, it has no idea where you are.
Now, so. One other advantage it offers you, a VPN that is, in addition to protecting you from privacy issues with your ISP, is that if you're at a public hotspot, you now have a more secure connection to wherever it is you're trying to get to. And you've, one would hope, eliminate or reduce the possibility of a man-in-the-middle attack at a public hotspot.
Yes.
So, and one other unintended consequence that I remember reading about years ago, and it seems like it's still true, is that I noticed after I turned the VPN on my iPad that my video streaming seemed much more stable. And, you know, I saw less buffering, you know, less noticeable streaming artifacts. Have you seen that, John?
I do notice that, especially when I'm at different public hotspots and things like that, where it makes me think that... perhaps that provider, while net neutrality would keep the ISPs from prioritizing or limiting, I think it's probably likely that my hotel or my public hotspot is using some sort of QoS to basically down limit video. So once you're using a VPN, it has no idea what you're doing, so right. It can't mess with it.
Yeah, I kind of think that now years ago, back when the whole net neutrality issue came up, this is not privacy, but when the issue came up that ISPs like Comcast were throttling Netflix, for example, and I'm not saying this in conjecture, Netflix provided data demonstrating this. Customers found that if they watched Netflix, for example, over a VPN on one of these throttled services, then mm-hmm. they got much better streaming, video streaming. And it appears that may still be true.
Yeah, I would think about that as a potential thing to watch out for with using a VPN, is that you might actually find you get better service because of that throttling.
Yeah. And in hotels and other places, you have a little bit better protection. So at any rate, I'm glad I spent my $40 on it, private internet access, which is a service that John recommended last year in episode 159. And here we are at 202, and I'm finally getting around to trying it.
Well, I've been very happy with them. I think I just processed my third renewal with them. So nice. I've had them for about 3 years now.
Now, are you locked in at $35, or did you get the new slightly higher price?
I can actually check. I didn't notice, and I wouldn't mind having the slightly higher, because I still think it's a good deal, especially when I travel. I really like having it in hotel rooms and other places. The iOS app will keep things just sort of connected, even if you turn on and off the device, even if you connect, disconnect from wireless. I actually apparently renewed at the rate that I had way back when, so I paid $31.95.
Wow. Okay, that's pretty good. Yeah. Okay, well, I paid $40, and I still think it's a good deal. It was really easy to set up. They are having a lot of problems. Now, let me rephrase that. The service is not having problems. But because, as I mentioned earlier, that VPN services in general are getting high demand levels because of this this change in the expectations of privacy from ISPs, they're really getting slammed, and they do note it in their website. And when you sign up, it says that you can expect to wait a few minutes for your password and account name to be transmitted to you via email. However, it took a lot more than a few minutes. I think it was about half an hour. So that's my only caveat, is these guys are getting a lot of traffic, a lot of interest, a lot of signups. So be patient, and your password will automatically appear in your email box at some point. It just won't be just a few minutes. I figure on half an hour, maybe. That was my experience last night.
If I remember right, when I first signed up, there was mention that they manually create accounts.
Oh, okay.
And so if it was automated, it would be quick, but I think they want to make sure that they don't have any sort of fraud going on in account creation. So I think they wait for things to clear and then create your account.
Right, right. And they do have a variety of ways to pay, including PayPal and Amazon Pay and a few other things aside from the normal credit card. So you have a variety of ways to pay for the service, which I thought was nice.
They even at one time, I'm not sure if they still do, but this is the kind of company that they are, where they're looking for ways to cater to everyone. They did accept gift cards at one point.
Oh, really?
If you had, say, an Amazon gift card, or you had like a Walmart gift card or something like that, it was not the same value. So if the renewal was $35, they'd ask for like a $40 gift card. Mm-hmm. But it was a way for people who were sort of extremely paranoid about giving out credit card information to be able to buy the service without having to use their credit card. They could just go down to Walmart and buy a gift card or something like that, and then send the information to private internet access, and that would be their payment.
Yeah, they're a pretty interesting company from what little I know of them, and I'm looking forward to try it. You can use it up to 5 computers simultaneously, and they have clients for pretty much everything: Android, iOS, Mac, Windows, Linux, even Chrome plugin, I think. So I might be able to try it on my Chromebook.
Cool.
All right. And last item, since we need to get John out and grant writing again, is that I upgraded my iPad Mini 4 to iOS 10.3.1 about a week or two ago. But I didn't do anything else because I've just been waiting to see if there's any fallout from moving to the new file system. Well, this morning last night I finally upgraded my iPad Pro Junior, the 9.7-inch Pro, from up to, I should say, 10.3.1. And with a new file system, you may have heard that you recover some space, and I in fact did. So I had 5.7 gigabytes free prior to the upgrade. And afterwards, and remember, you have to imagine that since they're adding code, they should be taking away some space. But actually, I went from 5.7 gigabytes free to 7.91 gigabytes free. So, you know, I gained, a little over 2 gigabytes of space, which is nice.
It almost sounds like because of the file system change, we're starting to see some benefits. So that's pretty cool.
Yeah. Okay, well, John needs to go, so a very short podcast. John, you have anything you want to add?
Just for those that are celebrating some religious-based holiday this weekend, have a good holiday. Mm-hmm. And for those that are not, have an awesome Sunday of some sort, or any day.
Awesome weekend.
Yep.
Yep. Okay, and for those who are thinking of getting rabbits for small children, as a rabbit-or, I'll say that's probably a bad idea. Rabbits are pretty fragile, and the kids need to be pretty careful with them. Also, they're a long-term
pet. Yeah, as you have found out, rabbits, they live a long time for you.
Our first rabbit is almost 11 years old now. Think about it before you get a pet rabbit for your child. Or you. You know, they're going to be around for a while. All right, folks. Thanks for listening, and we will talk to you next time.